to Resettled Radio, brought to you by the ARCC, live on Planet FM.
Stay tuned for current affairs, conversation, interviews, music and more,
as we explore the perspectives and stories from resettled communities
and bring you information from within the resettlement sector.
You are listening to Resettle Radio, produced by RCC Planet 104.6 FM. And oh my God, we are with. Yeah. I'm Joby and I'm with.
I'm Galuak, and we have a very important guest today.
Yeah, we got an important guest today.
I think he will introduce himself later.
Yeah, introduce yourself.
My name is Hadi.
So, today is.
Originally from where?
I'm from Indonesia.
Oh, Indonesia.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good to have Indonesian in the house.
I was in Indonesia, and I love Indonesian food, though.
Yeah. Where in Indonesia did you go?
So, I've been in Padang, right? And then I moved to Sumatra Utara. And then I've been to Jakarta, because we had to get a flight from Jakarta to New Zealand, right? Because they don't have international flight in other places. But, you know, I love the food from Padang, because Padang had a, you know, they make a good omelette, and I'm kind of over vegetarian, so I don't eat any other, so they make it good.
Are you guys close to one another? Maybe Myanmar and Indonesia?
No.
I'm not too sure.
No, too. Because I'm from Sri Lanka, so Sri Lanka is pretty far from Indonesia. But, you know, I was stuck in the middle of the sea, so I was rescued to Indonesia. So, you know, it's a pretty beautiful country, to be honest. Right.
I've never been there, but I've got a lot of Indonesian friends.
Right. So, it's also good weather today, right? So, pretty much, you know, as usual, that we thought it's summer, but we happen to still being in the winter, right? It's still being raining. And today, we're going to be talking about, all your listeners, we're going to be talking about child abuse and how parents should be aware of it and how we can educate the children to be aware of it. Because it's more important is the recent case that has happened in Auckland. There was a youth worker who has been sexually abused, a 12-year-old. And that has been on the news, and that has been highly talked about many people. Right? And whether the criminal justice system failed the family, or whether it could be prevented, and it could be, you know, something that can be prevented, right? And most people does not know that abuses in childhood are major reason for adversity in the adolescence.
That's very true.
So that's why the topic going to be very interesting today, and it's going to be very educating to you, right? If you're listening in a cozy car and driving somewhere and doesn't like the climate and it's so cold for you, just turn on the radio.
Sometimes it's wet outside there, so if you are driving, be careful, especially if you are in Auckland.
Just be ahead of it, you know, and turn on your heater. Just make sure, because it was so cold when I was like walking outside. I was like, oh damn, I hate this Auckland now. You know, so let's start the show just by writing a small song. But this song is something that touched my heart, because I was finding songs about, you know, child abuse awareness, and I found this very song that, you know, that made me realize that the importance of child abuse. And I hope that that songs will be something that would help you guys as well to know a bit more about child abuse.
I know you're there, I know you're hiding in the dark, because you're scared, you want the pain to stop, and no one cares. You try to tell the one you love, but they won't believe. The cross you bear, the mask you wear, the hurt that makes you cry yourself to sleep. Wait, will someone say it shouldn't hurt, it shouldn't hurt, it shouldn't hurt to be a child?
It shouldn't hurt to be a child. You can run to me, I'll put my arms around you. It shouldn't hurt to be a child. We hear your prayers, we know you're crying in the dark, but someone cares. We want the pain to stop, please don't be scared. Find the strength to find someone, I promise you. The cross you bear, the mask you wear, the hurt that makes you cry yourself to sleep. Somebody will see. It shouldn't hurt to be a child. Please hear my word. It shouldn't hurt to be a child. You can run to me, I'll put my arms around you. It shouldn't hurt to be a child. My darling child, we'll put our arms around you. We'll keep you safe, your wounds will heal, your pain will fade. A beautiful tomorrow is at your feet. You have to find.
So you're back online and you are listening to Restored Radio by ARCC. It's Aotearoa Restored Community Coalition and it's 104.6 Planet FM. And you were listening to It Shouldn't Be Hit for a Child. And it was a very emotional song that I was listening to in the morning. And then, you know, and it's very realistic to New Zealand as well, because New Zealand is one of the countries having the worst child abuse cases. And as I don't want to be emotional. I don't want to be emotional.
Because stay on the topic. But
the topic is so sensitive.
Yeah, it is sensitive. Definitely. And, you know,
sometimes you ask yourself, what are these sort of people, you know, do such things to other human beings? You know, what is the drive? What is driving them to do such a thing?
Yeah, and the other question is the reality of child abuse or the violence against children. Because, you know, most of it, even recently that New Zealand government even making a strategy for children and younger people. And the question is that how well we are prepared against child abuse or domestic violence or any violence that against children. Because they are the next generation, right? They are the future that most parents work for. Right, most parents invest on, and they are a life for many people, right? And if you can't protect them, then the question is, what the reality of the future, right? Because most people say, you know, back in even in my country, that we had a quote, you know, during war times, that most families, they feared about, you know, having family because they know that their children are not safe anymore, and they stopped having children. Right. This also influenced a lot in our community because, you know, we became a very minor community. And, you know, even from ethnic minorities, you become, you know, way less numbers over the years.
Yeah.
And that means that in within 10 or 20 years, you would be no one. Right. And there would be no one who was born from my ethnicity. Right. It might be a reality if child abuse could not be prevented today. right? And what can be done to prevent it, right? So
I think what can be done is to have a strong institutions. We know we have law enforcement, but are we too lenient? Are we not taking enough tough measures, you know, to punish those who do
the
wrongdoers? Do we let them go? What does the system do?
Yeah, and you know? Even the question is, you know, you guys have read about the story that the youth worker who was from youth
the
town,
youth worker that abused his position.
Yeah, to a real old girl, and he was only detained at his home, right? And he wasn't even given a jail time, and he wasn't even registered under sexual predator register. So they have a register for sexual predators, and his name was not pulled up on that.
Why his name was not pulled up?
Do you know?
Because they did consider that he is 21-year-old when this was happened, and they consider him as still young to have committed something like that. So I don't know how the crime sex was obligating to not to persecute him as a child predator because they also have to see other things that influenced him right at the time that he was abusing a 12-year-old girl. And the question that I always go through is why we can't pre-prevent it, right? Why it's still happening? Because, you know, the question is that how well we can pre-prepare our next generation so that we can prevent child abuses from happening. Because see that 12-year-old, she also reported on the newspaper that she feared a lot because she is still, you know, being affected. Her entire family is being affected. Be honest that, you know, how many of her friends know about what has happened, right? How many of them even go to youth town with her? And how many of them even know the youth worker, right?
And then now that this is, like, public, it also, like, draws attention to her, and then she might be getting, like, I don't know, like, negative comments about it.
Also that might cause stress for her, too. Because even the peers who was in her group, you know, they are like, maybe she might end up being bullied.
They might be pushing her away,
And even the school bully might be, you know, the biggest thing, right? Because it would be something that she's going to be long-term, you know, problem to her life. Because, you know, who else? Let's say if two friends fight, and one friend says, oh, you are the girl who was, you know.
Yeah, they bring it up.
Yeah, you know, with the bad word, they could say, oh, you were the girl who was abused by that guy, and you are the wrong girl that we are talking to you just because of a random fight, right? That's going to haunt her all her life. And no one can't be normal with her.
Breed trust issues, like, in herself.
It's also, you know, major issue even for suicide itself. You know, major suicides are much related to relationship problems, right? And, you know, because
definitely
read the file, because I was reading it in the morning that, you know, that New Zealand is one of the highest for suicidal rates.
Can you pull up the statistics for that?
It's the highest in what?
It's the highest in suicidal rates for between 15 to 9-year-olds. And it was recorded in OECD countries, the highest in the OECD countries. It's like 15.9 suicides per 100,000 people were recorded in 2010. And this
said it's like 8 years ago.
Yeah, it's pretty much like 8 years ago. But that's how long our statistic lasts. Because we still, you know, require more of a statistical research to find out what really happening. What one of the contributed to suicide were the abuses that has happened, even within the family or outside of the family, even domestic violence or violence against children, they were one of the biggest contributors. And even though between them, the highest contributor is, you know, cyberbullying, right? Be honest, how many people on the social media that talk about?
Practically everybody.
Especially
in, like, younger generation.
It's already been read on both sides. No one going to only, you know, talk about positive of it, but some might be talking about, you know, what. Whether there was a fault of the girl.
Yeah.
The girl let that happen. You know what I mean?
But it's like, but if you really think about it, it's like not her fault, because it's like the youth worker used his, like, position of, like, authority, I guess you could say, and then, like, used that to his advantage in order to, makes everything like this.
It's being manipulated because, you know, as a children, be honest that you are seeing workers or, you know, seeing someone as a role model.
Yeah,
you know, and when they used to turn you or manipulate you, you wouldn't understand.
Yeah.
Right? But that's where, you know, child abuse prevention is biggest issue.
Mm.
And I even, you know, read on an article on the UNICEF. UNICEF even reported that in New Zealand, a New Zealand child dies every 5 weeks. A child dies every 5 weeks. That means one child per 5 weeks, right? That means one child nearly about for a month,
yeah.
Right? That means we are losing 12 children per year just because of violence against them, right?
What's the criteria for it, like being a child, like if you don't mind me asking?
So being a child means that whoever is under 18 years old is a child.
Okay.
Right? So because, you know, that's the, you know, outline for children. But nowadays, young also considered as more than 12 to, you know, 20 was the highest, the broadest younger people. But the shortest younger people are 15 to 24. Because that's what how you know New Zealand government defined younger people as between 15 years old to 24 years old, and that's, you know, the statistics measures, and this does report that, you know, that 2012 surveys also found that 7% of the youth had witnessed adults at home or, you know, adults at home they are physically hurting them, right. And even in 2015, there was 14 victims of homicides under 14 years old, right? This is just happening at their own houses, right?
Yeah.
Which is just due to domestic violences, right? That affecting children in the long run. And worse than that, if a child undergoing a domestic violence and turning up to a youth worker, nowadays they would fear to trust them.
Yeah. Right? It's because it's like the people that they thought that they could trust, they couldn't really. So then they had to look to someone else.
Yeah, but be honest, on the other side, not every youth worker is a predator.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely not.
Right? So the question is that it's also breaking apart for any youth workers to, you know, work on the field. And to say that we are inclusive, we are here for you, we cannot say that because I'm a youth worker as well. I work with younger people, you know, from, you know, refugee background. And, you know, whenever, you know, I happen to talk to them, I also happen to make a distance with them now just because I fear that they might be fear to talk to me. They wouldn't express their real stories.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's the one thing that I always say. As a youth worker, you don't just only work for them, you work with them. Because, you know, you have to work with them so that you understand the reality of the problems. And, you know, and that's how the story is, right? It's really sad story. And
it's very sad, actually. And you know, in the 80s, in the 80s and the 90s, and there was the pandemic, AIDS pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like nationwide, and it was like Uganda the first, and then it went to Thailand, and then Thailand was the highest, and then it came to South Africa. South Africa became the highest, and then it, you know, everybody got involved in that.
People
talk about it. People talk about it in the streets, and then there are some events being held, you know, to fight AIDS, and there were a lot of signs being made, and you know, let's crush AIDS and let's get rid of AIDS and all of that, introduction of condoms and all of that. People go to the villages to talk about it. You know, that idea is still, we can pick it up and talk about child abuse.
Because
this is about making an awareness.
And it's educating as well, right?
Yeah, people turn the AIDS around and reduce the spread of the disease pretty quickly.
Yeah,
because it was a major issue.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing like child abuse now. It becomes real.
Yeah.
And people should talk about it. It's all about making awareness, you know, talk about it. Make some forums, discussions, engagements, and people will come on board and, you know, freely express themselves, even the children.
It's educating both parties, because, you know, the question of educating for prevention of, you know, child abuse is that whether we are educating both parties, like children and also the parents itself, because sometimes I feel like
everybody should get involved.
Everybody should get involved. You know, as you said, you know, pretty much catch up from what they have done in, you know, African continent for HIV spread. If they could the same model for child abuse and being able to insert child abuse in even in a school curriculum, right, and teach them ahead about, you know, what is bad touch, right, and what is violence, or if you does feel, you know, being fearful at your home, because domestic violence is also higher, right, and if a child being, you know, violated in any way, that, you know, it doesn't need to be a physical violence, can be emotional violence, right, or emotional pressure or emotional abuse.
Or just like psychological in general.
Yeah, it can be even psychological, right, and if that a child undergo it, that the child does need to know, because, you know, as a child, I feel, if let's say I'm a child, and I wouldn't know if I don't be educated, that's a problem. Right, because I would say it might be normal. You know what I mean? Because I do see as some young people, even with adversity, they do accept the reality. They said, this is normal.
I think that's what we will discuss next, because what constitutes the child abuse? You know, there are these thin lines.
What are like the criteria?
What qualifies it to be a child abuse?
What qualifies it to be a child abuse?
I think this is something to talk about when we come back.
And we just want you to listen to the song, and, you know, just listen to this song. And this is by Lady Gaga, who made a song for you know, a guy's sexual assault, right? And I think that this song is very pretty good, you know, and I really, you know, want you guys to listen to it, right? And let you guys get on it.
You tell me it gets better in time. You say I pull myself together, pull it together, you'll be fine. Tell me, what the hell do you know? What do you know? Tell me, how the hell could you know? Your head up, hold your head up and be strong. 'Cause when you fall, you gotta get up, you gotta get up and move.
Yeah. till it happens to you. You don't know how I feel, how I feel.
Yes, you are back online, and this is Resettled Radio by ARCC and Planet 104.6 FM. And you have listened to Lady Gaga's music about sexual abuse, sexual assault and sexual abuse. And she repeated the word, you know, you wouldn't know till that happened to you, right? Mm. And that's a situation of many, right? Because we wouldn't know how the family felt right now, or what is going through the child right now. We wouldn't know. But the only thing that we can do as a community is telling the child that this has happened, but don't worry, we will treat you as normal. Because I happen to ask people, if something goes on, don't treat them different.
Treat them especially if it's normal. Something that's out of their like control.
Even someone is, say, let's be honest, like if I get into a problem or I feel distress or stressful, just be with me as normal person.
Definitely.
Because if you do emphasize on, you know, you are stressed, you are doing that, and if you retell them or repeat them, that never led me to move on, you know what I mean? So
just like stay by your side.
By my side and just be normal, right? And you know, just be normal with them and tell the family that, you know, we wouldn't, you know, even talk about it, right? Just be able to let the child become stronger. One day, she's going to be someone who can advocate for what has happened to herself.
Definitely.
And she can be a leader of navigating and helping women from, you know, even girls from child abuse, right?
And child abuse is something real, and
definitely
it can happen to anyone, and it has no exception. Parents too abuse their children, and it can be in any, you know, in any location, in any environment. So
the question is that what is child abuse at first? You know, what does it constitute as a child abuse?
I think, I see some things online, you know, it says child abuse has four types. It can be physical. You hit somebody in the head and you do it again, that's a child abuse. It can be psychological. Maybe you deny a child food, you know, at the time.
No ice cream.
Child needs food. No ice cream. And not only for today, tomorrow no ice cream. For the week, no ice cream. And it would be like, that's not normal, you know. Because an abuse is a behavior. You know, this is where the things build up. You know, once it has become repetitive, so it is constituted as a child abuse. And it could be sexual. And it could be emotional. You know. And anything, but it depends, because some people come from a culture where the word abuse does not exist. But one thing they do not know, when you come to this country, there are clear lines.
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
yeah.
Where you will be told, hey, you cross the line.
Mm.
It doesn't matter how you do it back home,
yeah.
you cross the line.
Like over here, it's different.
Because here, a child is protected.
Yeah. And it's also showing love, though, you know, because all our parents, be sure, you know, I know most of them. I'm not going to say all of them.
Yeah.
But most
majority.
Of them, the vast majority of them, we love our children, right?
Mm. Yeah.
And we gave birth to them, right? So we don't even
I know care. We give them a disciplinary measures.
You have to be strict at some time.
Yeah.
But, you know, which is called negative reinforcement, right? Which is all right.
Mm. I also read in the newspaper that, you know, the restricted parents, they have successful kids. But it depends how restricted you are.
Yeah.
It depends on the level.
It comes down to that.
Yeah.
You know?
And is... It would be pretty much put into words is you can say no ice cream if the child had already two.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because if the child eat more than, because the child doesn't know that
the level of going beyond that.
You know, because
line.
If they eat like 10 ice cream, think about it, they are going to be in hospital tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow diabetes.
Right?
You don't want to see that.
It's a reality of it. At some time, it's good to be strict on them and say, no ice cream because you already had two.
And you can say, if you don't do this, you don't do your homework, no ice cream.
Yeah, you know. Also enforcing them to, in a positive and negative way.
Yeah.
But don't do by saying, oh, you don't get food anymore.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No.
You know, you're never going to eat for another week.
Yeah.
Don't do that. And that's a violence against children.
That's a violence against
right?
children.
It's pretty much putting it into word, right? So if just show love because not what else that they need, you know, they are children after all.
And you have small kids and then you leave them in the house and then maybe you go shopping or you go to... into a grocery store and then you leave them for a bit of time and it has become an issue. So that's neglect, right?
Yeah.
That's by itself is child abuse.
Yeah, neglection is also a child abuse because child in isolation, they have more adversity compared to child with family.
Yeah. Mm.
Because family mean they've been cared and they've been given.
Well, generally speaking, that's the case, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, right? Mm. And that's something that, you know, you know, even within myself, because, you know, I had complexity with my mom.
Mm.
And whenever we had problems, we used to talk to each other.
Yeah.
Because if we are being neglecting each other, that means you're never going to resolve the problem between each other.
No.
Right?
It would not help.
Yeah. And I still remember that when I was a child, you know, I used to like a dog. Right, and you know, I remember that I was in the road and I was crying, you know, because I won the road, you know, won the dog because you know I saw the dog in the pet shop, and I really wanted it, and it was looking so cute, and I didn't know anything about it, how my mom was finding it difficult because you know my mom was you know widow because you know we didn't have a father, and then all of her you know earning, it's pretty all right to live the family because we can enoughly live the family because she was working. As a garment worker back in the country.
Yeah.
And the problem was that I didn't know at the time how much money she had. I never thought of it because, you know, I do know right now, but when I was a child, I never thought of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So I was
That's
like,
not something that you should be thinking about.
Yeah, yeah. Right. But I felt so bad because, you know, at the time that I was crying a lot, even though she said no.
Yeah.
And I was crying a lot and I felt on the time that I was being, you know, being pressurized, I wasn't given what I needed, right? Because all other kids they get what they need, And I never know the reality of the other world.
That's true.
And then now that you're older and then you like revisit the memory, then you're like, oh, okay, I was
now I know,
now I know, right?
Yeah,
and I like the way that how my father approached when I asked him for ice creams, right? Because he said, you know, when I asked him for ice cream, he said, all right, Yobi, you're going to do one thing. I'm going to get you 10 ice cream.
Mm.
Eat 10 ice cream. You're never going to get for a month.
Yeah. Mm.
Right? Or you get one ice cream per week for the month.
Yeah.
Mm.
Right? And get an extra additional ice cream on the end of the month.
Mm.
And I was like thinking, what does the feasible? And I took the 10 ice cream and ate the 10 ice cream. Right? And then over the month, I realized that it's better to have one ice cream per week compared to having 10 ice cream. So, you know, I like the way that how my father approached when I was a child, you know, that he put that, you know, encourage for me to learn what is better compared to
making
him
you,
telling
like,
me.
Learn a lesson from him.
Yeah,
because he was giving you choices too.
It's
kind of you are free. And then you know your choice. If you mess it up, you may be like, maybe I try the other way.
Teaching your kid is very important, right? Yeah. Teaching them that, you know, you have the life, you have freedom of choice, and you choose what is better.
Yeah.
By learning what is better, right? And, you know, it's all right to make mistakes. You know, people say,
mistakes.
It's
all right.
I don't like when some parents, they go and say, you are a child, you made a mistake, you are, you know, just running in and you've broken a glass bottle, you know, glass vase.
We are human beings.
Yeah, definitely.
They always come. Mistakes are there, so they will not go away.
So it's pretty hard for a child just to be, you know, told not to play, because a child are meant to play. Right? They're meant to run away or run around. Right? The only thing that you can do is teaching them, right, you know, the other side of it. They have to know what would happen if they run away and run around the street without noticing the car. Right? So it's not just let them run away and just get them hit by the car and don't do that. Right? But you can just go to online, you know, give them a documentary of how many children are being dying just because they're just walking inappropriately.
The street.
And that's something that could be done in child abuse cases, right? So it's pretty much, you guys even might have, you know, experiences, you know, if, even from your child. You can even share here, right? Are you guys listening?
in my case, we never had something like child abuse. If it exists, it would be a child abuse because you would be given the hardest punishment ever.
Yeah, back in the country, right? Even in my country, that rebellion, they had a very restricted rules against child abuse or sexual abuse.
Somebody you don't even relate to you will discipline you, and your parents would not say anything because you have done something wrong. So it's right to discipline you, to show you the way. It literally would be child abuse here, but, you know, back there, that's how we grew up. If elders are around and you are just, you know, roaming around, you get smacked.
I used to get that back in the country, though, because, you know, the sticks that you get, the long stick that they chase you get your, you know, ass beef. Right? So, I had that experience, but most Asian do, you know, right? If you're Asian, you know, you were back in the country with your parents, you know how it felt, right? But it's not in here, right?
Don't do that.
It's not worth just sitting in the jail, because, you know, you get straight jail time. Right? Any offenses against children is punishable, right? And it is going to the courts, and it's become a major issue. Even it's the child protection policy.
Also, the world changes. You know, the world changes. Yeah. Behavior change too. So we have to change the way we deal with our kids, because it's a different generation. So you cannot raise. You know, you are from maybe second generation or third generation, and then you are raising a different generation, and then you want them to behave the way you were raised. It cannot happen that way.
And the problem is, you have to see that, you know, nowadays that a 12-year-old can be a CEO of a $1 billion company, right? And I know where 12-year-old own a $1 billion company. But he's not in New Zealand, but he is in India. But the guy was started the company with his father, and then they made $1 million. Right? And the company was in the name of the child, and the child is the CEO, chief executive director.
What company is it, actually?
So I forgot the name, but it was a company that they make, small objects to facilitate the satellite, you know, replacements. I don't know what company name is, but I read that online, that I was like so furious about how a child can own a company. And, you know, and I learned that it is also possible nowadays, right?
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Everything became easier because of digital ways, right?
Yeah. It's also easy nowadays.
Yeah. Mm.
And they can even learn, because there was another one kid that I watched in TED Talks that he was recycling. He was, you know, collecting, removing the plastics from the waterways, just using the Whirlpool, you know, from the sink that you put the water and remove the cap.
Yeah.
You get a Whirlpool.
Yeah.
Right? And he used the same model in the sea to collect the plastics, right? And he came up with the model by just learning and watching, right? And he learned that, and he made a small kit, you know, a small sample, and then he also talking on the tech show, right? So I was like, oh, this is so curious. How children are making changes now.
As you're younger as well, it's like you're more creative.
More creative and get more ideas.
And you try things. They are more active as well. You know, they work like within seconds. They just say, I like that. I want to know about it. So I like the how children ask questions, right? How, why?
Why the sky is blue? I don't know.
And that's also good even for itself, because, you know, my mom used to go to, you know, my mom, you know, became an ECE teacher, right? And she been to the, you know, for her training at an ECE center, and she said that children were asking questions about her color. They never had any brown person working in the hobby career, because hobby is like more than you know, European. They had European children, that they never had any people who are brown. They never met any people who are brown. So the question she was asked, why you are brown? And she said that this is how I born with, right? And people born differently, right? Like, because, you know, she was explaining to her, like, you do have the hair which is, you know,
Because there are things you cannot even control.
You do not choose your gender. You never choose your color.
You never choose your height. things like that.
It's pretty much goes the theory. Yeah. We were because I was meeting a friend and we were talking about the, you know, the false advertisement, and we talked about, you know, how Red Bull was advertising that if you could drink Red Bull, you get a wink. So there was a guy who sued the company because he didn't get a wink because he was drinking
and then drunk,
Red Bull.
Drunk for, everything.
He drank, you know, Red Bull for like 10 years and he said no wings. And he got like $13 billion.
Wow.
As a sue. Right? Oh, and he got $13 billion because of false advertisement. So the court agreed, the Red Bull agreed to pay him that money. And it was, I was like, oh, this is so huge, right?
So I'm guessing this was in the, like, U.S.,
It's in U.S. Yeah. Because U.S. have the highest rate of
lawsuits.
Lawsuits.
A lot of lawsuits.
Yeah, right. So this is pretty much the thing that, you know, kids could ask, right? If you're a parent, you know, if you struggle to educate them in a way, educate them what is a good touch.
You know, previously I used to ignore their questions, but nowadays I know, you know, they want to know some things. Yeah, you just have a dialogue with them, because this is where they, their brain is, you know, opening up.
Yeah, opening up and developing it, right? And you're just opening a door for them, right?
And whatever the child has asked, you know, that will stick for a long time.
And, you know, you can educate them right now, just because, you know, they're asking questions and you ask them, do you know what is a good touch? Do you know what is bad touch? Right? And you can teach them about what is a good touch versus bad touch. If someone touches you in a wrong place, you know that what you can do, right? You can teach the child, you know, you can call me and just tell me this has happened. Talk to me or talk to us.
My son used to tell me, we stop in the red light. He say, what about if we go? What can happen? I say, two things can happen. Either we can be arrested, or we can get killed. Yeah. Say, no, stop.
So, you know, so that's how you can prevent what can happen against children, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I love to share, you know, even for myself. I think that I was pretty much, you know, in my, between 12 years old, I was like 12 years old when, you know, I used to like every balloon. Mm. Right? You know that when you go to parties and all the things that... Mm. Even I was 12-year-old, I was like, you know, growing to a level that I shouldn't like the balloons.
Yeah.
Right? But I love balloons and I go and just snack them nicely and put it back to my, you know, to myself and just walk away without them noticing it. But most people do notice because balloons is, you know, all the balloons, they fly.
Yeah.
Right? So I used to do that, and one time my mom used to come in and she said, all right, do one thing is, you know, don't create a name that people do recognize you by. Create a name that people do know you by.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and that word meant to me a lot because, you know, that when you realize, you know, how you can see from outside of yourself.
Yeah.
Right? It's pretty much like, you know, get your soul outside of your body and then see around how things are going on. The problem is that the balloon is cheaper. It's not the biggest deal at all because it's already being used and they're nothing at all. But people just see your behavior, how you behave, and also understand where are they going to stand if something goes wrong.
Yeah.
Right? If I get into, you know, something that's worse, they never go back to me and just say, you did something good. Right? If I took the balloon and give it to a child, and I would be someone who was a good person.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I was giving back, I was doing something that's helping the other. And that's where I would be, you know, more ingrateful. So that's what something that parent could do is ingrate the children, right?
Yeah,
ingrate the children by, you know, saying that, you know, do one thing, I will give you $10. Can you buy your food and give it to homeless? Right? These are the habits that you can teach.
Yeah, so like encouraging good behaviors,
right? Encouraging good behaviors.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's also very important because the guy who, you know, did, you know, the guy who committed the sexual offense, also a young guy, because, you know, he's 21 years old, right? Be honest, he also young.
Yeah.
But the worst thing that he did is he put the video of him partying. It might be before or it might be after. But two of the pictures I saw was one of them from Halloween that he won like a jail, you know, someone who was jailed. And he said that no one can send me in real life, so I'm going to jail now in a Halloween. And the second one was he was partying. And that's made 25,000 people signing a petition against him. Within 24 hours, right? So it became a very serious issue that when, as a young person, that you don't even know what does it mean for the other. Because every action have a, you know, reaction to it. So if you do something bad, just go and ask sorry and be guilty about it, right? And be, you know, apologetic about it, right? And if you don't, that's me. That's going to haunt you for your entire life.
Yeah.
Right? No one going to regret you at any point of your time because they know that even they do, you do commit something, you're never being an apology. You're never saying sorry. You're never accepting what you have done. Right? You're only just going to redo it. Right? Don't do that. Right? If something happened, if, you know, by any mistake, even if something is a crime, be guilty about it. Feel guilty about it. Try to work it out. Try to, you know, face your problems. Don't hide it just by taking an alcohol or going into taking a drug or going into, you know, spending your time in a very negative way without thinking that what the reality of the problem is.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know what the girl feel. You wouldn't know what has happened to her till everyone going to look very differently on her. What her life going to be. But the good thing is girl became a role model in every one of us. Right? I still see her as a role model. She's still holding up everything. Right? And she became a very role model facing problems. And her family is very stronger because, you know, they also not pressuring her.
Yeah,
If it is back in my country, most of the problem what has happened is when a girl undergoes sexual abuse, the family also throw her out. Right? So, which is the worst thing that can happen to someone. It's not their fault, right? And they're also being kicked out, right? And that's not right by themselves.
We can go for a break. And then
So we're going to go for a break and, you know, are we going to listen to a song?
Celine Dion, I'm Alive.
Celine Dion and I'm Alive.
I'm Alive.
Right. So listen to it.
I can't wait to fly. Oh,
Welcome back to Reserva Radio, brought to you by ARCC on Planet FM 104.6. And I'm Galua Xula, and you'll be here, and our guest...
Hadi.
Yeah, we are full house. Easy is not in today. He's elsewhere, but he will come back next week.
Yeah, he's enjoying the... Right, so we have been so emotional and has been talking about child abuse and the recent case with youth worker.
Yeah, we've been talking about child abuse, what is a child abuse, and what is how you can call it a child abuse.
At what stage do you call it a child
abuse?
And remember,
and what should be done, you know, to reduce that that thing.
Yeah. I think that I read something about, you know, how we can prevent, you know, child abuse is just strengthen economic support for families and change the social norms, right, about, you know, parenting or positive parenting, right, and also provide a quality care, right, and a pre-education in early life about child abuses, and also enhance the parenting skill, right, because parenting care and parenting skills improvement are very important to, you know, childhood development for a child. And also intervene to less harm the future prevention measures, right, because, you know, it's important to make sure we have a very strict regulation against child abuse, right, because I heard that, you know, whenever I go to, you know, I applied for medicine, right, I have to do a Vulnerable Children Act, the VCA form. That VCA clearance form is done for most people who work for children and younger people. And that should be regulated to every single organization. If it is a non-profit or any organization who works under children, they need to undergo VCA clearances, right? They need to be run a training for the staff to be told, this is what you should do, this is what you shouldn't do. What would be the result if you do that? Right? So they would be aware of
understanding the consequences.
Yeah, the consequences of it, right? To make sure that they understand what can happen next if they do something that's wrong.
Yeah, true.
And these kind of measures would be better. And, you know, and that's something that I always, you know, do see that is lacking in the system, is we always talk about, you know, the crime and what going to be the major consequences are. But we never talk about pre-prevention or education, to be honest.
Because they say, you know, prevention is better than cure.
Prevention is better than cure. Right?
True.
And, you know, and that's where we stuck at, right? And we need to, even with the RCCSR, we would, you know, if you are a parent, you know, who does have a child who was finding difficult or not telling you something, because more children, when they undergo cyberbullying or child abuse, they would not be able to speak up to you. If they do so, do one thing is talk to ARCC, because ARCC have youth ambassadors.
Yeah, and also we acknowledge, you know, in any family, there should be another kid that does not listen to you. And whatever you try to make the situation calm, it might be put you in that situation, you know. It might push you to the edge. But, you know, there are ways where you can be able to have a better parenting.
Yeah.
So there are so many communities and so many organizations that have parental programs. So it's a matter of contacting ARCC, and then we will link you with those agencies and where you can have a proper training and involvement in the parenting program.
And most violences, you know, were recorded to children are happening at household, right? And make sure that you also understand the consequences, and you also teach your kid, right? Educating our children is important, right? Educate our children about, you know, what is child abuse and what do they do if that happened? Because I used to see
I feel like this should be more targeted at the parents rather than the children, but, like, I feel like they would also come into it, like, later on. But
yeah, and we just need to, you know, remind ourselves that, you know, this is more often happen. And I think I accept the, you know, the argument of, you know, most important to educate about parent, but also educate the children, right?
Educate
them in emergency, how they can dial 111. So we're just getting closer to the ending time now.
So it's running fast, so we will continue from next week.
And we will get back to you on next week. And if you still be on someone who was, you know, finding things harder, and remember that we are with you, right? And
ARCC, just follow ARCC Facebook page, and all the information are there. You can go to ARCC website, and you know there are links to click, and then there are ways you can get in touch with us.
Just gonna be ending the show by just a small song, and just be there, right, and listen to us next week. Right, just don't forget us.
Bye-bye.
Just listen to us. bye-bye. Take care.
Bye.
Ashamed of all my scars. Run away, they say, no one will love you as you are. But I won't let them.
them break me down to dust. I know that there's a place for us, for we are glorious. When the sharpest words wanna cut me down, I'm gonna sing.